Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Yesterday in our study of Nahum chapter 2, we're talking about all the total destruction of Israel and how it always comes back as God promised. Listen as we continue at that point today. Now the slaughter and the manner in which they slaughtered these people of Nineveh and the Assyrian kingdom was one of the most depraved and crazed insanity of which one could imagine. They would defeat a city or nation and divide the people, sending them in different directions if they did not slaughter them first. As a matter of fact, when you read of some of the things that they did to people, you would have thought they taught ISIS of today with their atrocities. It looks as if Israel and Judah will never be restored. They'd be so dispersed. Sennacherib had brought the northern kingdom into captivity, and now they thought they were going to do the same thing to Jerusalem and Judah. And they thought that Israel would never rise again to be a nation. Nebuchadnezzar thought that the same when he tried to take Judah into captivity and burn down the walls and took down the temple and so forth. He thought that, well, they'll never rise again. And they would never have anything else. He tore up their fields. He only left in Israel who were the most poor and uneducated people. He took the best of men and all their riches to Babylon, where they remained for 70 years. And by the way, let me just say this about Babylon. One of the bus drivers I had in Israel, one of the first or second times I was in there, might have even been the third time I was in Israel, but one of those bus drivers had come back to Israel from the area of Iran. And he said, we were under such great persecution, we finally had to leave. And they left and went back to Israel. But I thought, boy, that is something, because he said that his family line went all the way back to Babylon, where the Jewish people had been taken to captivity, and his family line had stayed there. So I just thought that was a very interesting thing. Now, in AD 70, Rome had tore it down, and so again, they had those walls down after Nebuchadnezzar done it, and then it got rebuilt, and it stayed down, historians report, for over 1,900 years. They thought they'd never be a nation again. I mean, 1,900 years without a land, the buildings burnt. We're told that the bloodshed was so great when Rome came there in AD 70 that it flowed even in streams throughout the street. But here it is, 1900 years later, and it's a nation again. 2 Samuel chapter 7, God promised David, King David, that the Israel would have that land, the earth land, there forever. And of course, when Christ comes back, it'll be from that point forward, it will always belong to Israel. Now, could Israel lose their land today? Maybe so. But if they did, I can tell you this, God will bring them back. When he brings them back, nobody's taking them out again. Why? Because his promises are good, and he made an everlasting covenant with them concerning the land. So those that teach replacement theology need to read a little bit of Samuel chapter 7, Romans 11, some other places, and see that God is going to graft them back in to that land. And so, I'm just saying, replacement theology is a myth. Now, it seems impossible, after all that, for God to raise up Israel again. But God hath, and his word is always good. So our text is, for the Lord hath, and his word is never, never wrong. It's wise to hope in the Lord, for his promises are sure. He never lies. As a matter of fact, it's impossible, Ephesians chapter 6, for God to lie. He promised Abraham, then Isaac, and then Jacob, that it would be an everlasting nation. And Israel is still a nation today. And that he will bless those that bless Israel, and he will curse those who curse Israel. And so we find it right off the bat that you've got to walk with God. You've got to walk with God. Now, be separated unto him. Always be separated unto God. So first see in our text, our Savior hath. He hath, in response to those in the text, marred their vine branch. Nineveh thought they could completely destroy the people of Judah. They would take them from their homeland and destroy completely the city. That is the center of their faith, the capital of their nation, Jerusalem. They would level it. Rabshakeh, or Rabshakeh, if you prefer to call him that, had taunted them, and now they are surrounding them to do so. They're kind of like the Muslim nations in our day when they destroy a country, a people, then they destroyed the imagery of something that was important to them that represented perhaps their power or their God, and then they try to build a mosque on that shrine, that religious shrine, that place it was. For example, when the Twin Towers come down, the Muslims wanted to build a mosque on that property. Of course, thankfully, good people prevailed and that didn't happen. But they always did that when they conquered a nation, and then with back there with the Assyrian kingdom, they would conquer a nation and they would destroy it completely. Now, a vine and a branch aren't much, and one could see how easy it would be to destroy it and for it not to spring up again. It would take a miracle. Especially like Israel after 2,000 years. Now, Nineveh, and then later Babylon, were only instruments that God used to chasten Israel. But he did not remove his promise because God's promises are sure. We read in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And he said all, he meant all. That's me, that's you, that's all mankind. No one has ever lived without sin except Jesus Christ, who was God come in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. And so we all come short of the glory of God. You know that Greek text there for come short of the glory of God has this idea? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God is they continue to sin and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 then tells us that the wages of sin is death. Now, wage is something that you have earned. It's something that you have coming to you. The wage they have earned is death. Eternity in the lake of fire. Eternity with no escape. Can we work our way out of hell? No. Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6 says that all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of God. You see, he is absolutely holy. Matter of fact, we read in Ephesians chapter 2, 8, 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Titus 3, 5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy. His mercy. He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Now, when you read verses like that, you realize that the only way you can be saved by grace through faith, that the only way you can be saved is by the work of Jesus Christ, who shed his blood on the cross for our sins, died for us, and rose bodily from the grave. That's the only way. That's why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. And no man comes unto the Father but by me. So how do we escape this fate that is so deserved and certain? Well, we must realize Revelation 1:18 that Jesus Christ is the one who has the keys of hell and death. Also, 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is now on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Now, that's not talking about baptismal regeneration, so don't even start to go there. He's showing our identification with Jesus Christ. And that's why he used the idea of it's not the putting away the filth of the flesh, because many times in that day, for example, the Essenes, they would do many of the baths that were there. They would go through all kind of a ritual cleansing of their skin. But the truth of the matter was that what needs cleansed is the heart, and only the blood of Jesus Christ does that. And so it was a baptism that we have. We are baptized in the blood of Jesus Christ. That is our spirit, our soul, because we're made in God's image and God is the spirit. And therefore, since we sin, it was our spirit that needed to be saved. This body's put off, but if you're saved, you're going to put on a new body, not like the one you've had, but rather likened unto his glorious body. And it will no longer be in a vile body when we see Jesus. We are marred branches, but the King of Kings, via his death, burial, and resurrection, has obtained salvation, redemption, everlasting life for us. And he did it in his humanity. And he miraculously saves any who will come to him in faith, in repentance and faith.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands.